I really prayed earnestly about this particular message because you've heard it so much. It's one of the dangers of Holy Communion. One of the dangers is that we will receive it as a routine, just one of those routines. I've been to communion services very rarely, but I've always been leading one. But I've been in churches that it was Communion Sunday and in their order of communions. Some only celebrated at Easter for Easter bunnies and Christmas for Christmas packages. It's those people that show us what they call people that only go at Easter and Christmas. So I'm glad there's no bunnies or packages in here today. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. There's a danger in Holy Communion becoming routine and not giving it the sacred place that it deserves. Just having our, just kind of neatly fitting it in to our well-timed service so that we can get it done, get it over with, get on with everything, try to make up for the, 10 minutes it took for communion, and get out within a gnat's eyebrow of 12. That's real close to 12, if you understand. You didn't know a gnat had eyebrows, did you? You already got a revelation this morning. Thank you for your reverence. Thank you for reverencing. That's what this is all about, is reverencing Him. And it's far-reaching in our lives. One of the questions I've asked often, why doesn't God heal everybody? I don't know, is my standard answer. But there are reasons that I do know, and the scriptures are very, very clear on. And whatever keeps me from healing is keeping me from the kind of fellowship with God that He desires me to have. Whatever keeps me from receiving answer to prayer is something wrong in our fellowship relationship. The prodigal son left home, and his daddy watched every day for him to come back. When he came back, his daddy hadn't disowned him. What he lost, now if he stayed out there, he's lost, but he had to come home. And when he saw him coming, he saw him a long way off. That means looking for him every day. And this is what he said. This, my son, who was lost, has come home. Let's have a celebration for that. That meant he lost fellowship with his father, but he did not lose sonship. Do you understand that? He said, this, my son. Did he not say that? People looking at me like a calf at a new gate trying to categorize me. Listen, I believe you can backslide and go to hell, so don't mistake what I'm saying as liberalism, because it's out there. He had to come home. He had to come home to be restored. He was a lost person. This, my son, who was what? Lost, has come home. Now I can restore him. And he began the restoration process. My heart as a pastor, there's a joy of the Lord in me. But my heart as a pastor, I see violations of scripture and spiritual law, therefore, that will disqualify people from answered prayer. And one of the least interesting topics that I have ever taught online or preached on radio is why prayers are not answered. Because most people just want to hear, if I just build my faith strong enough, I can get what I need from the Lord. When in fact, no matter how much faith you have, if your heart has disqualifying things in them in your life. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. The reason people don't like it is because it makes us responsible and accountable to God. And a lot of people just want to go to church, get their need met, and go their merry way without ever having to be accountable to God. Now, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's a powerful thing. It's also something that is very serious. If you speak in other tongues to give evidence to the Holy Ghost, or you have power manifest in your life, let me give you another danger. And to me, it's the greatest danger of all in Holy Communion. I want to read you these scriptures. It's going to take just a few moments to put what we normally hear before communion in context. How many want a clear, with nothing hindering, relationship with God, so that whatever you need in His will, He can and will grant you today? How many don't want to be under the chastisement of God? You'd think He never did. He said there's no one escapes that. Not a person on the planet so super sanctified that He would never chasten. In fact, He said if you'd be without chastisement, you name the name of Christ and you lived in rebellion and sin, He said you're bastards and not sons. That's pretty plain talk, isn't it? You don't hear that a lot. You need to hear it. Because there are people that think they have the rights of sonship when in fact He doesn't recognize them for that right. And somebody needs to tell them in love, you need to be more than just naming the name of Christ. Let everyone that names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. You can't just blurt out the name, drop the name here and there without really bowing to Him. It's not just about believing. That's what's wrong with all of these believers' conventions and faith conventions and the authority of the believer. If you're not bowing to His Lordship, the devil will laugh in your face. Amen. If you try to use the name of Jesus and take authority over Him. And He does. Listen to the context of what we normally read about the body and the blood of Jesus. Listen carefully. This is an important message because God wants to heal, He wants to deliver, He wants to set free. But above all, He wants to save and to sanctify His people. He doesn't want you saved and not sanctified. He wants you saved and sanctified, cleansed through salvation and set apart for a holy purpose. Praise God. Listen carefully to this. Many people ask me, I can't give all the reasons, but I can give you one outstanding reason. It's here in Hebrews chapter 11. One outstanding reason. People that have been in every prayer line everywhere, people that have had hands laid on them by some of the greatest evangelists and people with a history of having healing ministries. Listen to what Paul's instructions are to the church, to the Hebrew church. Listen. Hebrews 11:21-29. For in eating, now this is the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone that taketh before other his own supper, see what they were doing. And one is hungry and another is drunken. Can you imagine? We knew of a lady that was in one of those Eucharisto type of churches where they use real wine for communion. A person that did not take none of this seriously was baptized in an assembly of God. It got a little evidently too responsible and accountable for sin. So you can always find a church that you're not going to be held accountable or made responsible for sin. Sin has consequences. As a Christian, it doesn't absolve us of consequences. Sin has consequences. And if you have a problem as a Christian dealing with sin in your life, it's a big issue. It's a big issue, and God don't want you to have that issue between you and Him. He wants that. You need His help. He said to ancient Israel, and He said it clearly. He said, my ear's not heavy. I'm a prayer-answering God. I want to answer prayer that it cannot hear. I'm not, just because I'm the Ancient of Days, don't mean I need a hearing aid. My ear's not heavy that it cannot hear, and my hand's not short that it cannot save. She mentioned that chasm that the blood has been shed to bridge for you and I. That great gap. He said, but your sins have separated between you and your God. When they were right with God, repented of their sin and got right with God, no one could defeat them. He said, they'll come out against you one way, unified, set on your destruction. But they will flee from you seven ways in complete, it's his number for completeness, in complete disarray. Amen. You get it right, one of you chase 1,000. Two of you can put 10,000 to flight. Not the context of the scripture, but it will work without doing much injustice to it. Listen carefully. When I mention sin, it means we are going to be held accountable. And people are looking for a cheap grace. People are looking for a free ticket to heaven, and don't bother me with any accountability, responsibility. Do not tell me about the consequences that sin brings. Joel Osteen does a disservice to his congregation because he was asked, why don't you ever talk about sin? He said, well, I just believe that people need lifting up on Sunday. Listen, if there's still sin in their life, they need to get rid of it. They need to get forgiven of it. It's a barrier between them and God. Can you say amen? And to brag about, never even mentioning, what was his blood shed for? What does it say when Jesus took the cup? He said, this is the new covenant in my blood that is shed for the, what? The sins of many. Sin has always been an issue, and God has addressed it through Christ. We can be forgiven, but we've got to repent of our sin in order to be forgiven. There's no forgiveness without repentance. And therefore, I don't believe that you can find in Scripture salvation without repentance. It's not a work to earn anything. It's turning from darkness to light. Turning from Satan unto God. Amen. From sin unto Christ. You can't name the name of Christ and not want to depart from iniquity. Sin separates. And that's why he sent Jesus, to die for our sins. There are churches that will not preach that. They grow. And people in those churches, when they die, they will stand before God who gave his Son so their sins could be forgiven. And they love their sin more than him. And someone is responsible to tell them what's wrong. You want to know why some people are not healed? It's right here. One of them. There's more than one. It's not just about healing. It's about answered prayer. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. It's a done deal. I have faith. You have a need. I lay hands on you. Need is met. No, 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 no. You understand? No. And if, while praying for the sick, and if they have committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. So sin is an issue when we're praying for the sick. It's not just faith and anointing oil and laying on hands. It's getting people to get anything out of their life that would cause this barrier to the blessing of the Lord that he wants to pour on his people. I preach hard messages because I want to see people healed. I want to see people delivered. I want to see people set free. I want to see people kept by the power of God until the day of salvation. I want to see people not backslide. I want to see people have victory in their life. I want to see people have a relationship with God that is unbroken by sin. then you'd be sinlessly perfect? No. Can you just live a sinful life? No. And expect God, by grace, to just make up for it. How did we get here? And yet we're here today. And people would rather go to a church and be entertained than to be challenged to get in a relationship where God can actually deliver you so that He is known as the great and good God that He is. I don't want healing today so I can watch TV without pain. I want to be healed today because I want to demonstrate to a gainsaying world that I serve a great God, a shepherd king, a God who keeps His promises to 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Friend of mine, I want it out of my life. If I've got an abscess tooth, and it is about, not only is it causing me pain and pressure, it's about to set up blood poisoning in my body and threatens my very life. I want that sucker out. Come on, don't give me no aspirin. Amen. I want that sucker out. Look at somebody and say, I want that sucker out. Amen. Pull that thing. I went to a dentist one time. His name was, he's easy to find in the phone book. Kind of dentist I want. His name was Dr. You ready? Seriously, right there in Temple Terrace, Dr. Serene. I thought, serenity, serene. Boy, this sounds like, you know, give me some gas and let me be serene too. Pastor Serene. So I went in and he came over and he said, that tooth right there is abscessed. He said, you feel that? And Lord have mercy. When he just touched it. You know, it went through me, man. He said, wait a minute, I'll give you some shots in your gums. He gave me 2 shots in my gum. And he took that little metal thing and tapped it, and it went through me. And he said, I'm going to give you another one. I thought, give me all you got, doctor. Amen. Amen. Suck it to me. That's a 70s term. Most of you don't get that. Suck it to me. He gave me another one. He said, you feel that? And I said, yes, sir. And he couldn't get it numbed because the abscess, there's something about it. And so I told him, I said, well, do you think maybe you could prescribe me some antibiotic for the abscess? And then when the swelling goes down, you'd be able to, you know, be able to pull that bad boy. I didn't call it a bad boy. I told him. You know, I talk in public a lot better than I talk to you people. And he said, yeah, like, I never thought of that. And I thought, and I'm going to pay you? I saw a cartoon one day. You sit in offices, you read things you'd never subscribe to. In New Yorker magazine, and it showed a dentist. One of the cartoonists had put in a cartoon among all the articles in there. In the front, it showed a person waiting to see the dentist. And in the second panel, it showed the dentist and a man in there. And the man wasn't in the chair. The man was bent over like this. I thought, well, that's a dentist. That's not a proctologist. What's going on? And so, you know, it already intrigued me. I wanted to see how it came out. And you know what a proctologist is anyway. So, in the first scene, the nurse is telling the man in the waiting room, the man, the dentist will be with you shortly. He's making an extraction. And then I look back over to the second scene, and what he was doing with his, you know, instrument was removing his wallet out of his back pocket. And I thought, you're going to charge me what you're going to charge me? I still got a toothache that's awful. You can't pull it. I had to tell you what to do so you can pull it. And you're going to not only not pull my tooth, you're going to pull my wallet, make an extraction. And so the antibiotic started kicking in after about 3 days of agony. I decided, you know what? I'm not going back to that dentist. It's going to cost, but it's going to be worth it. I'm going to an oral surgeon. I found an oral surgeon in Brandon. It cost, and I was glad to pay it. A few days with that thing where you can't sleep, can't eat on it, I'll pay. You don't have to extract my wallet. Here it is. Amen. Listen, I went over to Brandon to an oral, he's an oral surgeon. And he said, sir, there's an extra charge if we put you to sleep. I said, here it is. And they put that little IV in my arm, told me to count backwards. And I started counting backwards. They told me to count backwards from 100. They don't need 100 once that thing kicks in. Oh, sweet Lord, how wonderful it was. Amen. 199, 98. Phew, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm somewhere else. Now, while I'm somewhere else, you go in there and just take care of it. They pulled that tooth, scraped the gum. He had all these utensils that he scraped. I'm gone. I'm somewhere else. That's fine. And then he closed it, and then he stitched it up. And then the next thing I know, I'm in the chair, and they're saying, Mr. Venable, it's time to wake up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't in any pain. I thought, I want some more. I hadn't slept. I've been up walking the floor with this tooth. That pain is gone. I'm relaxed. I'm no hurry to wake up. And I said, Mr. Venable, you gotta get, you wake up. And I'm like a drunk person, and it was a legal drunk person. So I'm walking to the car, and I think I smiled. And my mouth was just full of blood, big old grin on my face, bloody grin. And I lay down in the back seat, and I'm about to go back to sleep. And Pamela drives me home, and it's over, and it's done with. Now, I tell that humorous true story because God wants that abscess that poisons us and keeps us from this vital relationship we need with Him. He wants it removed. He doesn't want to give you a painkiller, a placebo on Sunday morning. He wants to do something radical, and us to do something radical. Pulling a tooth is radical. It's going to leave a hole. But it was back here so nobody could see it. So that's okay. It's okay. It needed to come out. It could have got worse, and it will get worse. There are people that need to hear this message that don't want to hear this message. Because as soon as they hear it, they're going to become responsible and accountable. And many, many, too many Christians do not want. They want to circumvent the set laws of God. Not deal with issues that God said is so critical. If you don't deal with this, I can't help you. And not only I can't help you, I won't help you. No one wants to hear that. They want to hear that you can build your faith to get anything you want and write your own check by faith. If you could just believe strong enough and hard enough, consistently enough, it'll open the windows of heaven. Heard a man preach on that. He said, you can chart, if you accede to this ministry as an act of obedience, you can chart your own course. Whatever your ambition is, God will grant it to you. You can chart your, that was his exact words, you can chart your own course. You can have anything you want. Now my Bible says, you can have anything he wills, but not everything you want. My Bible, the one I read, the Living Bible, the King James Version. Can you say amen? And I thought, that doesn't sound right. Big flag comes up. You can chart your own course. Boy, people love to hear that. I want a brand new fully dressed Harley. How much would one cost me? One like you would like. $56? Oh. You mean a two-wheel get you killed, get you murdered on the road? Would cost me $56. He's looked into it. Keep an eye on him and don't give him the checkbook, ever. $56,000? Lord have mercy, I had no idea. My stepdad bought me a BSA for $250, in 1955. I took her for a ride on it, and it broke down. My dad had to come, put a... That's how we started our life. And, then we got married. Then we got married. She actually married me with an old broke down 55 BSA motorcycle that left us sitting out in front of a 7-Eleven. Back then, 7-Elevens didn't have air conditioning. It was hot. And then my dad gave me a 54 Pontiac straight 8. Instead of a straight 6, straight 8. Oh, it was long. And it was black. And it was cool. And we got married. And I drove that thing to Brandon from Sefner, where we had the wonderful honeymoon accommodation of a 30-foot trailer that my uncle got used to spend our honeymoon. He let us use it. Pamela got in that trailer looking in closets for the bathroom. Looking in closets for the bathroom. Where's the bathroom? I thought, listen, I didn't tell her that. I thought, you married a poor boy. Amen. You better become a Walmart girl real quick. Forget about Macy's. Amen. She said, honey, where's the bathroom? And I pointed out back, there was an outhouse out back. And I thought, that bathroom's out there. Amen. We were in love. Oh, man. We had to be in love. That's why I love her so much. She stayed with me anyway. Found out I wasn't rich and stayed with me anyway. I'm glad. You what?
You kind of knew.
You kind of knew. Yeah, it was pretty obvious. So I jumped in that Pontiac, and my dad had given me a little bit of money, maybe $15 or something. There was, eighth of a tank of gas, and I thought, I can get to Brandon and back. We'll worry about something else later. I'm on my honeymoon. I ain't worried about no stinking gas in the car. Just get over there, get us two hamburgers, two fries, two Cokes, and come back and have our wonderful celebratory marriage supper. And I got over there at the Sip and Smack. That was the name of the restaurant. The Sip and Smack. That's a good name, right? The Sip and Smack. And I ordered, and I paid for that with the last little bit of change that was left from what he'd given me. And I went to crank up the Pontiac. And that old Pontiac engine froze up on me. First, I took her for a ride on my motorcycle, and it broke down. It had an electrical problem. It never did get fixed. She should have got the message. Yes, she should. I went to a conference for the Independent Assemblies of God in Dallas, Texas. I opened the phone book to see if any Venables in Dallas. Oh, there was a bunch of them. And in big black letters, so it stood out from the rest, was Robert A. Venable Oil Properties. And I told Pamela when I got home, I said, honey, you got the right string, but the wrong yo-yo. Amen. You married the wrong Robert A. That one right there could give you a wonderful materially give you a wonderful life. He couldn't love you better than I love you. Because I still love that woman right there. Some rich man might have dumped her for two. It used to be when you turn 40, you dump your wife and get two 20s. Well, they do that. Anyway. Man told his wife, I'm going to leave you and get me two 20-year-olds. She said, honey, you ain't wired for 220. Anyway, moving right along. I want to see God's people blessed. I want to see people healed again. I want to see prayers answered again. I want the Holy Spirit to come in the midst of us and meet every need that is present. I want to clear anything that would hinder that from occurring. I want to see what an unquenched and ungrieved Holy Spirit can do in the midst of God's covenant people once again before I go home. I want to see it. Yes, I want to see souls saving. I want to tell you, if the church has revival, I'm talking about the church international, not just us, but if the church, the true church, has a true God-sent, devil-chasing, Holy Ghost revival, there will be people added to that church that will see God moving. They won't see dead religion, dead rituals, dead routines. They will see the living God manifesting Himself to His people in the form of healing and deliverance and help when we call on Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's pretty good, but we can do better. Let's give Him a good one today. Hallelujah. I want to see it. Let me read this to you before we receive communion. Context to what we normally hear is very important, because here's one of the reasons that we're not seeing that, and something we can all do about it. So Hebrews 11:21-29, for in eating everyone that taketh before other his own supper. Now they're bringing their own meal. One is hungry, another is drunken. They're not discerning the Lord's body. First Corinthians. Oh, it's a letter. Okay. Okay. That's a typographical. It's a typo. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:21-29. Thank you. I need you guys. For in eating, everyone that taketh before his own supper is hungry, and one is hungry. Somebody's getting filled over here. Somebody's hungry. Another is drunken. Somebody's getting drunk on communion wine. Somebody's bringing wine to get drunk on. They're turning a holy event, holy emblems, the holy service, into something that is more like a party for everyone's personal indulgence. What? With a question mark. Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now see, there's a context before we get to those communion scriptures about the body and the blood. This is the context. They're having a party. They turned it into a party. And they were partying, indulging the flesh. No consideration for one another in the body of Christ. Another danger. That we don't recognize each other as part and parcel of the body of Christ. That there is a common ground at the foot of the cross. There's no rich, there's no poor, there's no black, there's no white, and all the spectrum of colors and cultures in between. At the foot of the cross, there's no rich, there's no poor, no strong and no weak, no tall and no short, no fat and no skinny. Praise God, at the foot of the cross, we are one. Hallelujah, because we're part and parcel of the, not just a denomination or an organization, But we're part and parcel of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should see each other in that perspective. They were saying, my little clique is over here, my little group's over here, we got a coconut cake over here, and you can't have none. You should have brought your own. He said, you've turned this into a party, and not only that, you've turned it into a respect of persons event. And that's when we get down to this worthy stuff. Do you see why no one will ever be worthy of the blood of Jesus? But you are worthy through the blood. So when it says, if you do this unworthily, it's the irreverence manner in which you approach it. I had a preacher not long ago, because I meet with preachers and I interact with other preachers. I was a lonely man on the hill for a long time, many, many decades. But now I get to interact with other ministers, and he said, you know, I had somebody stand in for me Sunday. I didn't preach Sunday. I thought, well, why? Were you sick? Were you ill? And he said, well, it was Holy Communion Sunday, and he'd had a family situation that was very heated, and he said, I didn't feel worthy to take communion. Now, there's a big old problem when the pastor doesn't feel worthy to take communion. I'm glad for his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, but we're not talking about being worthy. We're talking about the reverence. In fact, communion is a good opportunity to deal with that thing. Not to keep you from it, but in the midst of it. Before we get done today, amen, if there's any sin that I need to deal with, I don't want to leave here with it clinging to me. I can't afford this that would hinder God from helping me when I need help. I'm not sinlessly perfect. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Here's an even bigger surprise. Neither are you. But I'm not sinful either. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it and the lust thereof. The devil is not my master. He's not my daddy. God is my master. God is my father. Jesus is my Lord. Can you say amen? And when I falter, I confess my sin. Hallelujah. That I might be forgiven. All of this that we're about to do is so we can be forgiven initially and consistently. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus has a consistent, it's not a once or twice a year, once a month thing, it's an everyday thing throughout our life. The blood has been shed so we can be forgiven our sin. And if we say we have no sin, we lie. We tell not the truth. But if we confess our sin because of the shed blood of Jesus, He is faithful and He is just or justified. He's not sweeping it under the carpet. He has judged it in Christ so we could be forgiven. I don't want to miss that opportunity to be right with God. I want to hear a message that challenges me to get right and stay right with God. Because I need Him. We used to sing it, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour, I need Thee. Anybody know the rest of that? It's been a long time. Come, oh. Savior. Say it loud. Say it proud. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. Whatever keeps me from fellowship with Him and a relationship with Him. Positionally, it happens when we get saved. Positionally. But personally and practically, it's a progressive work in our life. But it's progressive. Amen. He's not going to be satisfied till we become like Jesus. We're not like Him yet. We're under construction. Saw a church sign. Most of them are goofy. This was a good one. Amen. It said, be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. How many is God still working on you? Amen. Under construction means that there's a big mess up ahead.
instruction completed.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Give me a fist bump. Hallelujah. On Billy Graham's wife's tombstone, it said construction completed. Until we get there, we are under construction. And in order to be under construction, we need to receive divine instruction from the Word of God. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for rebuke. What? Rebuke? Reproof? Reproof? Correction? And instruction in righteousness. So that the man of God might be fully furnished to every good work. Hallelujah. So go ahead and reprove me. Just do it in love. Go ahead and rebuke me. But do it in love. Go ahead and correct me. But do it in love. Because I want to be fully furnished. When we first got married, we moved in a house. Our rent was $35 a month. My payday from Winn-Dixie was, after cuts, was $32.50. $32.50, and we had a child. We were able to get some furniture because it was an unfurnished house. We got it $35. Hallelujah. And I saw that little Badcock furniture truck, I think it was Badcock, come. It wasn't a big truck because there wasn't much in it. But there was a couch, and I'm so glad I was young because it's hard on your bum. You know, your bum, that's what you sit on. Amen. Getting revelations all over the church today. It was hard. It was cheap. Lord have mercy. We got some furniture that brand new, it was bad. And that's bad. Because it was the cheapest thing they had. There was no goodwill to go get it back then that I knew of. But our house had a couch you could sit on. Didn't have to sit on the floor. Had an old bed. It was hard too, as I recall, that you could lay down on our mattress. Had a little table in the kitchen with two chairs so we could open up a can of whatever and put it over white rice and Kool-Aid. Oh, man. We got a fully furnished house. We got a table to eat off of, couch to sit on. Oh, man. Man, you married the right person. She stayed with me. And we stuck it out. Amen. God's been good. God wants to do so much. Because it looks like that the Christian church and the Christian faith and Christians in general, we preaching to others about the goodness of God, the greatness of God. And sometimes we're living beneath our privilege of power and promise. Amen. So you can talk in tongues all day long. You can shout, dance, and run the aisle. But if you go home without God's help in your life, you're still in trouble. And for all practical purposes, we are no different than the world about us. They're without God and without hope. Without God, the Bible said they're without God and without hope in the world. It's a terrifying place to be. Because all you have is the doctor, the nurse, the hospital. When you were in the hospital, they couldn't fix you, as I recall. They didn't know what to do for you. So, who are you going to call? Yes. You called on the Lord. And I heard you were in the hospital and I called you. It was during COVID, so I couldn't come and just walk in on you. But I prayed for you in intercession. What happened? Anyway. I want you to say that.
My intestines shut down, and they don't know why, and they never figured it out.
His intestines shut down. Now, you've got an issue here. Because her mother's intestines shut down. And it wasn't but a week, 2 weeks until she was in heaven. When they shut down and went dead and they couldn't pass the through and food couldn't get through, it's done. His intestines shut down. Went into intercession for him. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to clear. People are desperate for help. When they shake their head and say, I don't know what to do and I don't know what's wrong and I don't know how to fix it. Aren't you glad there is a God with whom nothing is impossible? Can you say amen? And nothing is impossible to him that believeth. I want to be right with him. I want to be able to pray and believe when I pray that I have his ear. I know I've got his heart. This is not about him loving me enough. This is about me dealing with anything that would keep him from legitimately, legally, not violating his own word or law and blessing me. Hallelujah. He got humble in the hospital. I guarantee you, when a doctor says that's the situation, we don't know why and we don't know what to do. And people begin to pray and all of a sudden he gets better. He come to church. I was glad to see him. He didn't go to hospice. He didn't go for some kind of after stuff. God healed him. It was a miracle. And they never found out what was wrong. Here's a spoiler. Ready for a spoiler? I'm going to give you a spoiler. Spoiler alert. He's here today. How many months ago was that? About a year ago. They still didn't find what's wrong. They didn't fix what was wrong because they couldn't find what was wrong. It happened twice. First time no hospital, second time put you... Yeah. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to hear. That's our God at work. That's what God can do. So reprove me, please. Rebuke me if I'm wrong, please. Amen. Correct me if I need correction. Don't pet me. Don't help the devil deceive me into disqualifying myself from the help that I so desperately need from God. Tell me the truth on Sunday morning. I won't give you a penny if you don't. I won't sit under your ministry if you don't. I won't come to your church or listen to your tape if you don't. Because I'm serious about my faith. I'm not like others who have no hope. Because I serve a God of hope. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't want to lose it. That's not just for a funeral. We're not like others who have no hope. We're not helpless. But many Christians don't live that way. And there are people that have come here that are out there. And I know what's coming. Are you prophesying this? Are you predicting? No, the Word of God has clearly declared what's coming. It had been better to never know the way of righteousness than to know it and turn from it. It's one thing to sin in the dark of ignorance. And there was a time God winked at ignorance. But Jesus came and said, not anymore. Not anymore. You're accountable. You're responsible. This is not some old legalistic holiness message, wear your sleeves to the, wear your hem to the ankle and your sleeves to the, no, this is not about outward holiness. This is about the heart. Listen to what they were doing so you understand the rest of it. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? He's correcting them. So they can have this relationship with God, not be disqualified. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, said, take, eat, this is my body, it's broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same manner he took the cup. You know this probably by heart. After he had supped, say, see, there's more to this than the text, isn't there? This is the New Testament or covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. The context is not finished. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, literally in an unworthy manner. It's failure to reverence that is holy. If there's one thing that I see, even in mega churches today, it's an irreverence for that God has designated as holy. And that irreverence is blocking a true, you get that many true believers together, there should be a true revival breakout. But irreverence, God comes on a bush, Moses says, I'm going to stop and see this thing. And God speaks to him out of that burning bush, that glory that was all over that fire that did not consume it. And he says, what? You've got to do an act of reverence right here and right now. Amen. You're in the presence of the holy. And you can't just sit and wide-eyed and gawk at it. Take off your shoes. Take off your shoes as an act of reverence for the presence of God. For the ground you're standing on has been sanctified by the presence of God on that bush. This is not a casual thing. This is not a carnal thing. This is a holy thing. Take off your shoes as an act of what? Deep reverence to God. Amen. For you're standing where? You're standing on holy ground. Sanctified by the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Friend of mine, this is a Holy Spirit. This is not to play with, not just to pray with. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Church of God. This is the Holy Temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? That's a holy Bible that you're holding. I heard Doug can't hardly throw away a Bible. It's something about just chucking it. But a lot of people are chucking it to be entertained. Oh, they might have wished to throw it away. They don't even bother many circles to bring it to church because they like the preacher. They like the entertaining worship. We could go into that. But we don't have time. Whatever is consecrated to God becomes sacred. The incense they offered, they didn't decide what to offer him. He told them what is acceptable. He gave them the formula for each portion and part of the incense to be burned before him. And he said, if anybody uses this for any other purpose, then in the worship of a holy God, let him be cast outside the camp. He has blasphemed. He has defiled the holy. He has no reverence or respect for the holy. This is not for your gratification. Worship, oh, I get blessed during worship. I get lifted up. But it's not for me. It's for him. True worshipers worship him vertical. In spirit and in truth. It's not enough to join the crowd and clap your hands and stomp your foot. It's holy. He's holy. And we lose that lofty view of God. Isaiah goes into the temple and the glory of God is manifest. And what's he say? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to have a good time at church today. What do you say? Woe is me. You know what woe means in every instance in the Old Covenant Hebrew? Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! Woe to them Oh no, how can you do that? Don't you know the consequences of what you're doing? He says, woe is me. I'm undone. There ought to be conviction when the Holy Spirit is manifesting. There ought to be people in church that want to get real and get right with God and become an authentic Christian. This is not to play with. It's dangerous. What we're about to do, the way people are doing it in such a carnal and casual way, it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And we welcome you coming. You only have a few. I understand. Can we pray with you before we receive communion, since you just have a short? We're going to pray right now. What's his name? And he's in Moffitt. I'll just tell you, I had leukemia. And as a child, they didn't have bone marrow transplant way back then to give me. They didn't have all that Moffitt can do, and they do wonderful things at Moffitt. Thank God for that kind of knowledge that God has given them. So the doctor told my parents, they said, just take him home. We were poor. We had no insurance. And cancer treatment is high, even way back then. And without insurance, they said, just keep him home. And when he gets really, really bad, on an emergency basis, there was an old county hospital. I mean, it looked like something out of Stephen King novel. It was bad. They said, we'll get him admitted. In other words, they'll help me to pass without pain. I'm 8 years old, and that's the devastating news that my parents got. Cancer of the blood, leukemia. So they took me to church, and they had prayer for me. And they anointed me with oil and prayed for me. And they took me home. I laid on the couch most of the day. I was jaundiced. My liver had been affected by it. But when I got up the next morning after prayer, hallelujah, I got outside. I had a dog named Poncho that I hadn't played with in months because I didn't have the energy. I chased him. We did our game. I chased you, and then you chased me. And I chased him, and he chased me all day long. And we went back to the doctor, Dr. Paul Minthorn, Tampa. He did another blood test. My mom told him what the change had occurred in me, and he saw it. And so he wrote on my report, spontaneous remission. We don't know where it went. We don't see, men of science have a real problem with this, but God doesn't have any problem with violating the laws of science. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's pray for her husband. Amen. I vowed, you heal me and I'm 77. That's a long time healed. God has been good, and we're going to pray for you right now that God will touch your husband like he touched me. God loved us enough to give his son. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Lord, that all involved might know there is a God in heaven, and there is a Christ that died upon the cross, and there is a name above every name that is named. And even cancer must bow at the sound of this name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that there will be a miracle in this man's life, a miracle in this family. They came into a church service this morning for a reason. Thank God they came. We can be part of that miracle. For we pray for you to touch him, to heal him, and it to become a testimony to your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your greatness. And we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Feel free to come anytime and let us pray the prayer of faith. That's what we're trying to do here today in Holy Communion, is clear the way for answered prayer. To clear the way for answered prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Verse 27. Wherefore, Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, not unworthy, in an unworthy, irreverent manner. Now I want to stop and thank you. Don't let anything keep you ever from receiving Holy Communion. Well, I just had a spat with my old man. I just had a spat with my daughter-in-law, son-in-law, mother-in-law. I used to sing it to my mother-in-law. Mother-in-law. And she used to love it. She ate it up. She always sided with me. I had a good mother-in-law. Yeah, I sung it. Yeah, Dale said, please don't, please don't. And mother-in-law. I don't know if you remember the song. I come home with my pay. She asked me what I made. Satan shouldn't be her name. Yeah, it's a good one, brother. Hey, Dale. I want you to look at your mama-in-law and say, I shouldn't have laughed that loud. Okay. He forgot who he's sitting by. Dale, you can handle him, right? Okay. Unworthily, don't let anything. Get it settled. Don't let the sun go down on something. Get it settled. God said, I'm here to settle it. Let's settle it. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come, let us reason together. I want to talk with you, Israel. I want to settle this thing. I don't want to judge you. I don't want your enemies to prevail over you. I want to help you. I want to show my glory. I want my name to be glorified in helping you. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Here's that issue that we don't want to deal with. It's not just the elephant in the room. It's the T-Rex in the room. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins, I'm ready to deal with this issue. Are you ready to get it dealt with? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Red like crimson. So evident. So glaring. They'll be forgiven and purified. If you be willing to deal with this issue and obedient, willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. My blessing will be restored to you. My hand will be on you. My help will be available to you. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be destroyed by the sword. Your enemies outside of my covering and my covenant will overtake you. And they will overcome you. And that's why many Christians are in the predicament that they are in. Because He calls us to do it and we're not willing to repent. And that's why churches that never preach repentance are doing a terrible disservice to that huge audience out there that are told if they just believe, they can chart their own course. Scripture says, it's not in man that walketh to choose his own way. We're to have a master. Can you say amen? One translation of that says, it's not in man that walketh to chart his own course. That's when you flip the TV off, if you've got a Bible, and you ever pick it up and read it. Can you say amen? That's when you cancel your subscription to the Sunday morning message. Amen. That's when you quit writing checks to support something that is deceiving so many people. And listen, it will ultimately, if not corrected, it will send people to a devil's hell. And they will cry, Lord, Lord, when they stand before Him. And He'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Your claim on me is not valid. I do not recognize you as my child. But listen to you that are born again today. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. For the Lord knoweth them that are His. Can you imagine? He has sealed us, marked us as His own. Hallelujah. It's that seal with the Holy Spirit is a mark of ownership. It says, they belong to me. They don't belong to the devil. They don't belong to the world. They don't even belong to themselves. They belong to me. Hallelujah. They're my sheep. And I'm their shepherd king. Hallelujah. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, my margin it says judgment, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding this is a representative of something so holy. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with, here's what separates this from some little routine religious deal, with the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Hallelujah. That demands a deep reverence, not just a religious ritual and routine. And a soul searching, am I giving that deep reverence to God that He deserves? Amen. Verse 30 says, for this cause, here's one of those reasons I give as answers. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. This word for sleep is dead before your time. If you drink damnation, this is a dangerous thing we're involved in right now. The danger is that someone wants to live a double standard life and have all the blessings of God because they're going to build their faith. They're going to sow their seed and circumvent the Word of God, the law of God, and get whatever they want. That's the message that's been given. And it's a damnable heresy. There's no truth in it. For the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaching us what? That we can sin without consequence? No. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. In the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, you stand out. You shine as lights. Hallelujah. Praise God in the midst. But don't let it soil you. Am I reading from your Bible? For this cause, it's this irreverence for the holy. Many are weak and sickly among you. Many sleep. That's why when you pray for the sick, I don't have no idea what time it is. When you pray for the sick, let them call the elders of the church. Everybody wants to be healed. We have a covenant of healing. Let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord shall raise them up. No, 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 no. There's something crucial here. If it's that simple, why are there so many weak? Why are there so many sickly? Why are there so many dying with their disease? Do you ever ask yourself that? Don't blame God for that. We have clear instruction in the Word. Amen. Somebody ought to tell us these things. I know you don't like it. There's churches won't tell you this. And their doors are wide open. They'd be glad to have you. But in this church, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because someday you're going to need a miracle. Someday you might, no, you know what I mean? You might. Someday you're going to need a supernatural like these people that came in today. If God doesn't intervene, Moffitt can do so much and they come to a dead end. There's no dead end with God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing impossible with God. Praise God. I want to be right with God. You better challenge me or I don't have time to fool with you. I feel like Vance Havner, not near his status, but he said, I fear I have preached myself out of many pulpits. This is not what people want to hear on Sunday morning. They want God's man of faith and power to lay hands on them and get them healed so they can get out and go to the mall. Amen. And not have to go back to the doctor. That's what people are looking for. Never worked that way. Listen. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith will save the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed any sin. Now how is sins forgiven? Well, it's not by denying it. If you say you have no sin, you lie and do not the truth. But if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive it. So while praying for the sick, we need, before we start just laying hands on and getting everybody healed, which it doesn't work. And God gets the blame. Why doesn't He? I just read to you one of the major, glaring, outstanding. For this cause, many of you, covenant people with promises from God, with a provision from God, are weak, sickly, and die before your time because you've turned, you're treating holy things irreverently, and the church will permit it, but God won't have it. God will not have it. And He said, when you do that, you are drinking, instead of the blessing of the body and blood and all the benefits of the cross, you're drinking judgment. There are people going to die before their time that stood in the presence of God and lifted hands and praised Him, that spoke in other tongues, and yet went out and treated the holy things and the Holy Spirit that they claim to have. There's a responsibility when your body becomes a temple. You didn't just join an elite spiritual club. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that lives in you? I'm sorry. You are not your own. You're a bought with a price, and you do not belong to yourself. You belong to Me. That's a good deal. Because when I belong to Me, I belong to the devil. But now I belong to Jesus. And that's a good deal. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What a deal! Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. How many believe we need to put context to this text instead of rushing into what we usually do and leave all of this out and tell everybody it's fine, it's fine. God's got it. Go home, believe Him, trust Him, sow into the ministry, and He'll take care of it. He said, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. We need to tell people to grow up in God. Quit playing church. This is holy stuff. Been better to, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, the Bible said he walks through dark places. I looked that up, and it was murky darkness. It's a darkness that it's more than the absence of light. It's the presence of evil. Listen, more than the absence of light, it's the presence of evil. Dry places, is translated in the Greek murky darkness. And this spirit that now can't use this body as a place to have any sense of being and expression is in that murky darkness. And he wants a host body. Now this is about demon possession, but listen to the principle here. He goes out and he walks through dry places looking for another vessel to inhabit. And he doesn't find one immediately. So he goes back to the one he was expelled from. And he finds it. What happens when we're set free? Swept and garnished, clean as a pin. Can you say amen? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen carefully. Swept and garnished. And since there's no one living there, he has access to that same body. That's when, if we get somebody set free from demon possession, we need to lead them to Christ immediately. Can you say amen? In fact, we need to lead them to Christ before we pray a prayer of deliverance for them and have them renounce the hidden works of darkness, renounce the devil. Can't have it both ways. Get rid of your Ouija board. Get rid of all that paraphernalia. Don't go to that psychic again. Go to the Word. He reenters, but he doesn't come alone. I had them, but I wasn't strong enough when a prayer was prayed over them for deliverance to keep them. So he brings seven more wicked, more evil, stronger than himself. And the last state of that man that just got delivered, that woman, is worse than the first. It had been better they had not known the way of righteousness than to know it and turn from it. They're in worse shape now than they would have been if they had never been set free in the first place. There's a lot of mercy on people that don't know better. A lot of grace for people that don't know better. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple? Which temple you are? Come on, Christian. Everybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants to be spiritual. Everybody wants to be a part of the elite tongue-talking crowd. When your body becomes the temple, there's an accountability. The Bible went so far as to say, as a Christian, because Christ has come to live in you, your body is a temple, God has come to make His abode with you, that in a very real spiritual sense, if you go out of here and join yourself as a Christian to a harlot, you're joining Christ. That'll bring swift destruction. There's no grace that covers that. God. And how does He destroy? You try to get people to straighten out. You give them the truth. You pray for them. You instruct them. And they headstrong, stubbornly go their own way, turn such one over to Satan for the destruction of the... I can't do that. You know how that happens? It says, don't bother continuing to intercede. It will do no good. Turn over to Satan for what? The destruction of the flesh. Many of you sleep. Dead. Graveyard dead. That they might learn not to blaspheme. What is blasphemy? Treating the holy as an unholy thing. Irreverence. They want me dropped. Don't ever sign your name, Reverend Robert A. Venable. Let's drop this reverent stuff. No, let's don't. bunch of wise guy kids. The prophet came by. He's bald headed. And what did they call him, Brother Taylor? Irreverently.
They called him bald head.
Oh, bald head.
Go up, you bald head. Go up. Yeah.
Yeah, go on, bald head. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, bald head. What happened to them? She bears came out of the wilderness and killed them. That's in your Bible. Did it say who's going to destroy here? Who's going to let that happen? God. If you've got a problem with the devil and you've got holy authority in Jesus' name, you can deal with the devil. But if you're wrong with God, you can't just go to another church and get away from accountability. You can't just listen to that preacher that tells you you don't have to do that. Because that preacher will get you in trouble with God. And he can't get you out, no matter how much faith he has or authority he has. For this cause, if a man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Amen? I like Phillips. Don't you realize that you yourselves are the temple of God and God's Spirit lives in you? Don't you get that? God will destroy anyone who defiles his temple, for his temple is holy. And that's exactly what you are. A holy generation. A holy people. A chosen generation. That you might show forth the praises of Him, the virtues of Him that called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Defile here in the Greek means to stain by treating what is sacred as common or ordinary. The average communion service is just that. No call to holiness, no reverence for the holy. And the sick and the weak and the people that die in spite of intercession blame God for being unfaithful. I don't know why God didn't heal that person. Well, here's one glaring reason. And if we can get rid of that, I believe we're going to see. Listen, I went to a church that preached holiness or hell. It may have leaned a little too much toward legalism, but it helped me be in a church when I needed to be delivered from cancer, that there was nothing in the way of that healing occurring. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Did you get anything out of this? Before, are you ready to do some business with God when we receive Holy Communion this morning? Praise the Lord. We get this right. This is going to be the meal that heals. This is going to be a meal that heals. This is going to be a meal that heals. Glory be to God. Amen. Because what I'm about to partake of is what Jesus' blood and body has by covenant provided for me because of the cross. And I want you to know there's healing in this blood. Amen. There's healing in this body. Glory be to God. Amen. There's victory in this name that I claim. How many are not sinlessly perfect? How many believe, though, that there's some things in our life that we need to take care of between us and God to open that passageway to him that shows it. Oh, Psalm 50. I'm almost done. God's going to give us grace to have our communion service. And I don't believe they're going to march up here and run us out. And what we're paying, they better give us at least 10 more minutes. I hear the sound. Before he saw the cloud, he heard the sound. In his spirit. He didn't say it after the cloud. He said it before he saw anything after 3 years of drought. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. Oh, my wife loves to lay down on a room where we have a couch in her dollhouse. I don't mean Barbie doll. I'm talking about the real, you know, 1/12 authentic stuff. She loves to lay down on the couch. She say, "Honey, will you put some rain on?" And I go to YouTube and put gentle forest rain in. And then I turn up those speakers and it sounds like there's a gentle rain. We're out in the middle of no rain, but my wife gets rain anytime she wants it. Another reason she's glad she married me. Amen. "Honey, would you turn the rain on for me?" And I turn the rain on, and she curls up and goes into a deep sleep. Can't hear outside sounds because there's a gentle rain. Ambiance, they call it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what the prophet said? Oh, by the way, I just got to get this in. A real prophet don't just pray for rain in a drought. He prays for a drought so people will get right with God so he can send the rain. Amen. Amen. Boy, that was low-key amens. A real prophet don't just pray for blessing. He prays for corrective judgments before their enemy destroys them. Satan wants your destruction. God wants your instruction, so he can't do what he would do if God pulled his covering off of you. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, I need that covering. Hallelujah. I need that covering. You better challenge me on Sunday morning. Don't you give me pablum in the last days. Don't you pet me into an early grave. Amen. When I need to be delivered and set free. The devil came to destroy me when I was 8 years old. Amen. Jesus stepped in. But I was in a church that preached get right and stay right with God. Can you say amen? My pastor failed. Amen. But Jesus didn't. My pastor went back on God, but Jesus didn't. And my healing wasn't taken from me. The man prayed for me was an evangelist, and he prayed in a prayer of faith. God honored it in that place. Amen. Your grandpa and your grandma attended that church. Praise God, where I was healed. Hallelujah. And every day that I live and breathe and pray for people with cancer, like those people that came in, is because I have experienced that. I know what God is capable of. I know he's no respecter of persons. I know that we belong to him. We're the sheep of his pasture and the people of his hand. And I want better for God's people. Hallelujah.
You've given us some strong meat this morning.
Yeah. Thank you. Is it in the Bible? It's in the Bible? So the strong meat is in the Bible? It was there all the time? Why don't we hear it? Why don't we hear it? Why don't we hear it? And if we hear it, why don't we heed it? I counsel thee. He counsels us. He corrects us so he can bless us and keep us. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord to ancient Israel and to us today. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool, red like crimson. It should be as white as the snow. Can you say, man, I'm ready to do business with you? That's why the Bible said, as we're about to receive communion, let a man, let a woman, let us examine ourselves. Not in a condemning way, but in a truthful, honest way. David put it this way. He had failed so miserably, he didn't want the devil to trap him again. He said, "Search me. See if there be any unclean way in me. And if there is, I want to deal with it." And God said, "I'm ready right now Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Thank the Lord for His forgiveness, His grace, and His tender mercies in Jesus' name. Milk is wonderful when you're a brand new believer. But there's a point where you must graduate, because it's not enough to hold you fast in the falling away. It's not enough to hold you fast in the falling away that has begun. We've got to double promote people to get them beyond that baby stage of their walk with God and get them into some strong meat for strong Christians. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These tokens are not in and of themselves holy, but they are representative of that that is so holy that even angels have to shield themselves. We serve a God that dwells in unapproachable light, but yet when we assemble in His name, He comes into our midst. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What an honor. What a privilege we have today. Father, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We don't feel condemned. We feel honored and privileged to pray that prayer. Forgive my sins of omission, commission, sins of attitude and activity. Lord, I wish I could tell you I would never need forgiveness again. But I can't promise that, but I promise you one thing. I will not let the devil rule over me. And I will not let sin reign in my body. Hallelujah. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want you, God, to be my King, my Master, in Jesus' name today. Cleanse me. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. And restore unto me the joy of Your deliverance, Your salvation. Hallelujah. Then sinners will be converted unto You, because they'll see what You're doing in me and for me. And transgressors will learn Your ways. Hallelujah. 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 The same night He was betrayed, since we've done business with God, He tore a loaf of bread in half. He said, "This is My body broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of Me dying on the cross for you." That's what He meant. They didn't get it, but oh, they did. And we do today. You may eat the bread. Lord, we have confessed our sins. We repent this week. If need be, we will do a house cleaning, that Your house may be not just swept and garnished, but it may be filled with Your presence and a big no vacancy sign hung outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Offer Your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He lifted up the cup, the third cup on the table, the cup of redemption and deliverance, and said, "This is the New Testament in My blood that was shed for the sins of many." As often as you drink this cup, you declare openly, publicly, you show, S-H-E-W, the Lord's death till He come. You proclaim, "I am saved because of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus." You may drink the cup. Hallelujah. 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 Do you see what God is doing? Do you see what he's doing in people that will believe him and not let the devil deceive them? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hammy.
He passed away of a heart attack, and he's 30-some years old, so remember the family in prayer. Now, Hammy was Lovey stayed with Hammy, so we'll take care of him now. We'll pray that God will get the Lord paid out.
Yes, amen. We certainly will. Yeah, Hammy came to our church a few times and he was reverent and he received the word of God. And I always appreciate that when someone comes and shows reverent for the Lord. Amen. So we pray for Hammy today, Father, in Jesus' name. Wherever he is, whatever is occurring, he's committed to the hands that has the nail scars, and we trust those hands with him. We pray for everyone connected to him, that they will know, even through this untimely death, this young man's demise, that they will know how fragile life truly is, and we will live our life with faith in God and trust in God for every breath that we take, every heartbeat that beats, and every day that we live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All it would take for you and I today to receive anything we need, and for her to receive for her need and the people with people in Moffitt, is one touch. Just one touch from the King. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.